Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Rolling. Freedom fiends, y'all.
Frazetum fiends. What's up?
It sounds better when you talk ghetto than when I talk ghetto.
I guess, if you want to call it ghetto.
Ghetto.
Yeah.
Well, that's what most white people would think.
I suppose. White folks and all that. Honkies, yeah. Crackers, as we call them.
Yeah.
Or as Plies calls them, pussy-ass crackers.
So the Tea Party is libertarian in the same way that a drag queen is a woman.
Is that the name of today's cast?
Yep, I came up with that, and I think it's true. I mean, except for Ron Paul and Gary Johnson and maybe one or two more.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not really the Tea Party. They've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
I think the Tea Party are like people jumping on a bandwagon. I mean, when you've got Newt Gingrich being considered the Tea Party, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's such an amorphous thing. I mean, and one day I can identify and say, yeah, Tea Party. And then the next day, yeah, if Newt Gingrich is claiming Tea Party, or if Sean Hannity is claiming Tea Party, or Rush Limbaugh, yeah. Then yeah, that's the thing, is it's a movement. And usually when there's a movement like that, the mainstream GOP will try to co-opt it and say, yeah, Tea Party is about being statist in our way. You know, not necessarily about freedom like the Ron Paul Tea Party originally was.
I took a movement right before this cast.
I'm sure our listeners are glad to know that, Michael. Do you feel freer after your movement?
I do. I actually hate doo-doo humor. How about squished mouse humor?
I think
Charlie, this isn't really humor, it's just a fact. My cat Charlie killed a mouse, which I'm pretty impressed by when she does that, because she's 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And she always kills baby mice.
And I don't think other cats could kill anything.
They could. They kill bugs all the time, and they're really violent about it. But there are no mice inside, and they don't like to go outside, so they don't really encounter mice. But, you know, we feed the birds, so the bird food attracts mice.
Right.
Which is how cats actually got civilized. You know about that?
Yeah. They would protect the grain from pests.
Yep.
And
they actually civilized themselves.
Right. Well, they tied themselves to humans, just like dogs, you know. That's what domesticated animals are. They threw in their evolutionary lot with mankind.
Well, but dogs were domesticated by people. Cats domesticated themselves.
Yeah. I don't know.
Dogs were domesticated by people because they were useful for work, for hunting.
Right.
And guarding and pulling things. And cats really aren't useful for anything but companionship and eating mice.
Well, eating mice is very useful. I mean, people kept them around. They didn't start killing them for food, yeah. You know. I think that whenever there's a domestication, there's always a symbiosis going on. I think it's always a tit for tat in some way.
Except with government, where they try to domesticate us and commit domesticide on us.
That's different. That's not a symbiosis. That's a parasitical relationship. They feed off of us.
Did you see that there's a new show coming out on Showtime called Homeland? It's like a cop show where the heroes are Homeland Security people.
Oh, my God. They didn't.
Yeah, they did.
They can make show out of everything.
Which is funny, because it's like, I saw an ad for it while I was watching Penn and Teller's bullshit. Which was great. It was like,
they bought ad space on bullshit. That's great.
Yeah. They were interviewing Ron Paul, and they were calling him Gandalf. And then they had like a naked woman on. I was like, wait, I'm watching TV, and there's a naked woman. I'm not looking at my computer. I'm watching the TV, and there's a naked woman. What's happening? Oh, it's Showtime.
Nice. Oh, yeah, Showtime was my bread and butter when I was 13, baby.
So, speaking of tyranny and where it's coming from, I just finished reading that book. I actually read a book. I was with DJ when I finished reading it. Yeah, and I set it down, and she's like, wow, I have not seen you finish a book in years. I get bored and distracted, and, you know, there's too much other stuff to read, and I don't have long attention span, but I finished One Nation Under Sex by Larry Flint and some ghostwriter. It's a great book. I hated the last paragraph of it. The last paragraph of it got all patriotic, like, we must put these sexual things aside and not worry about the sexual mores of our leaders, and we must embrace Americanism and fulfill the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under sex. I'm like, really? You had to throw the Pledge of Allegiance into that?
Yeah, yeah. Nationalism just rings so hollow for me now. I mean, once you go anarchist and you hear that kind of stuff, it's just, I think,
especially with like Larry Flint, who like the government tried for a long time to throw him in a cage, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, in the end, he's status too. I remember looking at a Hustler that was made a little bit after 9/11, and it was just status as hell, you know. Cartoons
of Osama. Though,
yeah, he does. He does. Yeah. But I mean, if you remember, right after 9/11, there was dead terrorist porn was kind of big too. You know, Photoshop pictures of Osama bin Laden with his head chopped off, and yeah, cartoons of him getting raped by a donkey. Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
And Larry Flint was definitely on board with that.
But I learned a lot in this movie, especially about the FBI and its background
with in the book
Hoover. Yeah, J. Edgar Hoover. A lot of people think he was a cross-dresser. He was not a cross-dresser. He never would have done that because he would have been afraid of being blackmailable. If he was a cross-dresser, no one ever saw him. But he was gay, and he had a gay lover.
Ah.
Yet, he was going after everybody and trying to amass records on their sex lives. He kind of reminds me of Ban Banning in that even as a child, he loved rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And he never married. His job was his life and his wife. But it's more like, even as a kid, he spied on his neighbors. He even compiled like a one-page gossip mimeograph newspaper about his neighbors that he sold for a nickel as a kid.
He sold it for a nickel? And,
yes.
Well, at least he had a little bit of entrepreneurship in him.
Well, he was no voluntarist, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know that.
And he never married because he was gay. But he compiled sex records on everybody. I mean, unbelievable. Let me grab the list. Hang on. Sorry, I'm kind of I'm in this little cage of microphones and equipment here on my couch.
Beautiful.
It's hard to get up. The FBI back then spent more time spying on people than stopping criminals. You know,
what do you mean back then?
So they could blackmail them. Well, you said it, not me.
Yeah.
Here I'm reading from the book. Hoover obsessively monitored the private lives of writers Tennessee Williams, John Steinbeck, Arthur Miller, Aldous Huxley, and E.B. White, scientists Albert Einstein and Jonas Salk, artists Georgia O'Keeffe, Henry Moore, and Pablo Picasso, entertainers Elvis Presley, Bing Crosby, Jimmy Durante, Groucho Marx, and Charlie Chaplin, and Mickey Mantle. He basically blackmailed the Kennedys into not firing him and getting an extension. He was going to be forced out because he was at the mandatory government retirement age, and he got them to extend it so he could keep tyrannizing people. Wow. He was the director for 58 years of the FBI.
See, and look at the difference between him doing that as a government agent and TMZ doing it now in the free market. It's not really a big deal.
Yeah.
If TMZ looks into somebody's sex life, people pay for it. It's a good thing. But J. Edgar Hoover was obviously using it for evil.
And he actually used it to unseat a 20-year Democratic majority in America and install Republicans. And,
so what kind of ass was Steinbeck getting then?
I have no idea. He was really concerned about Martin Luther King and spied on him and got tape recordings of King having sex with a prostitute. King was married and a preacher.
Oh, wow.
And blackmailed him and tried to get him to commit suicide.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And how long was this guy head of the FBI for?
58 years.
Was he the first head of the FBI? Was he like what brought the FBI into what it is today?
He was the sex czar. That's a modern nickname for him.
Sex czar. Yeah.
Yep. There were unintended consequences with him, too, was that somebody in the Communist Party said that without all of the FBI spies who were paid members of the Communist Party would have gone broke.
So this guy is just a bad apple all the way around.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to Larry Flint for getting that out there. I mean, I love Hustler, and this sounds like this is grade A info as well.
Yeah. So you have a tyranny today.
I do have a tyranny today. Go ahead and play the jingle, Michael.
Insert jingle here. All right.
So today, the news story I did was on one of our local candidates for city council. He's running for the city council seat that's currently held by our mayor. Our mayor is a member of the city council who, you know, the city council chooses. His main stance number one, is capital punishment for illegal aliens. So he says, first of all, the feds should shoot the illegal aliens as they cross the border. If they fail to do that, the city needs to take care of itself and make sure that if somebody gets caught in the city and is an illegal alien, they should also have to face capital punishment. One of the other things that strikes me, you hear these kind of things, and when I was reading the newspaper's version of it, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a guy who's really fired up, you know, some kind of white supremacist guy, you know, we know the type. Not at all. Seemed like a fairly laid back, really laid back kind of guy. Soft spoken.
Did he mind talking to you with your Bin Laden
beard? Did not mind talking to me at all. Was super friendly. And more than anything, he was honest. You know, I talk to politicians all the time in my job, and they skirt the issues, and they'll give you, they'll hem and haw, and they'll never give you a straightforward answer. Not this guy. He believed his stance, and I gave him kudos for that at the end of the interview. Well, at least you're honest.
Well, then he won't get elected if he's honest.
He's not going to get elected.
Regardless right. of his politics.
But what struck me was, you know, when I was talking to people about this back in the newsroom, you know, everybody's like, oh, is he really racist? And no, but he was really statist. His main argument was, you know, this violates the sanctity of America, of our collective country. He wanted to ban Spanish and make everything be English only in public thing to provide for social unity. Everything was about the unit. It was very socialist to me, very statist. And he wanted to make sure there was a death penalty for these people because they were violating the sanctity of the union, violating the laws of America, and that's why they should be put to death.
I'm always intrigued when people try to control things by laws. I mean, did you talk to him about, well, what if we just got rid of all of the handouts for everybody? Would you be happy letting them in then?
I sure did, because, you know, that's almost a rote argument, and usually when people do are upset about illegal immigration, it's, you know, they're taking our jobs, they mooch off of our social systems. So, you know, I'm like, well, what if we got rid of the social systems? That's always my argument is, okay, so why not, instead of stacking a solution on top of instead of, you know, what the government normally does is they create a problem and they just keep stacking more government solutions on it, just creates more problems. So why not go to the root? Why not get rid of the social welfare programs that's giving out free money and stealing from us in the first place? And his answer was basically, no, because there's already been enough people that mooched off of us, and they have nice Suburbans and nice houses, and they're doing better than me, and so they shouldn't have this situation. We need to just get rid of them all, deport them, or put them to death if you have to.
Does this guy have a nice house or a nice car?
Well, he drove away in a Ford Topaz, so I'm assuming his house isn't very much nicer than that.
Well, it sounds like there's some economic jealousy there, which is... You know, I'm seeing that in the rioting that's going on in England, too.
Very much so. I think class warfare is always on a lot of people's minds, and it's very important that as libertarians or anarchists or whatever you want to call us, at least here at Freedom Fiends, we got to really understand that class warfare isn't about the rich versus the poor. Real class warfare is about the parasites versus the producers.
I heard a couple interesting statistics lately that corresponded with each other. You know, they say democracy is a system where 51% can tyrannize 49%.
Yeah.
Do you know right now what percentage of people do not pay any federal income tax?
51%.
51%.
Yeah.
And so they can just vote for more free stuff from the other 49. And in the book Political Ponderology, which we've talked about before, it says that 6% of any given population are sociopaths.
Wait, what was the percent?
What did... Six.
6%. Okay, I almost thought you said 60, but I think it is something lower, like
no.
6. Yeah.
6% of any given population are sociopaths. Now, what did you say last time about what Congress's approval rating is right now?
6%. Yep. It might be lower now. I mean, the S&P downgrade and the Super Congress could be lower than 6. Last week we said 6. I think if they pulled that again...
I don't think it'll go lower than 6.
You don't think it will?
I don't think it'll go lower than 6
because 6% are sociopaths.
Sociopaths will always... Yes, will always like it. And, you know... The 51% that don't pay income tax can tyrannize the 49% that do.
Yeah, those are some good, nice analysis there, Michael. I really dig that. I do.
I saw some good movies lately.
Yeah?
We watched Idiocracy. You ever seen that?
Oh, I love Idiocracy. Idiocracy is genius. I love Mike Judge in general. I love Beavis and Butthead. I love King of the Hill. And Idiocracy is beautiful.
I still think that the first 5 minutes of that are just about the best thing he's ever done.
The explanation of how they got to that point?
Yes.
Yes. Basically, yes. Bubba the football player scored with all sorts of chicks and knocked up chicks without without paying child support. And so his family tree is giant, like a giant family oak tree of stupidity.
But I'll say this, all the plump white trash he's f***ing, I think, are sexier than the intelligent lady who doesn't have any kids.
Oh, totally. I wouldn't bone her. But see, it's important that he doesn't really mention this, and this is my fatal flaw in Idiocracy's prediction. Bubba's kids in a free society would have either evolved and learned how to, and adapted and gotten smarter and become productive members of society or died. You know,
whenever you bring that up, social Darwinism is a really unpleasant subject for a lot of people.
Yeah, but it's,
you know,
it's
even small government Republicans are like, well, you can't let kids starve, which, you know, I don't think they would, because I think private charities would take care of it. I had a conversation with someone recently about, it was a friend of mine. We're both ex-junkies, you know, clean for, you know, around the same amount of time. We got clean around 94. And she went through a government-paid inpatient program to get clean. And I got clean kicking in my house and going to a day clinic, which probably received some government funding, but it's mostly privately funded. Mm-hmm. She's a liberal, but she was kind of on board and intrigued with my libertarian theories that I've been ranting about on the internet. And she's like, well, what about that? You know, how would drug addicts get clean? And I'm like, the Salvation Army has a detox. It's not fancy. They give you a mat on the floor and a bucket to puke in and a Bible. But, you know,
yeah.
It's not government funded, and people do get clean and stay clean through there. And really, to me, it's like, it doesn't matter how you get clean. It's like people that go to AA and NA generally stay clean, and people that don't. You don't have to go for your whole life like they say you do in the meetings. I didn't, and I'm still clean. I haven't been to a meeting in five years.
Well, what I wonder is, would we really have drug addicts as we conceive of them today in a free society?
No, you'd have drug addicts in the same sense that
you'd have alcoholics.
You have the guy who, like my neighbor that gets a case of beer. I see him bringing a case of beer in his house every day, and he goes to work every day, and he's 60, and I never hear him screaming or beating anyone, and the cops are never at his house, and he never crashes his car. He sits at home each night and drinks a bunch of beer. Yeah. That's what you'd have for heroin addicts.
You would. And, you know, the prices would drop, so you wouldn't have the crime. People always associate it with crime, but like we say in the movie, the crime is a direct result of its black market status, a complete direct result, both because the price jumps up because you have the risk factor involved that the suppliers have to deal with, and then also because you have the criminality involved. So you get rid of those two elements, then people are going to the supermarket, the dosage goes down, so you buy, you know, safe dose children's heroin, and you're okay.
Flintstones chewable morphine, that's a Simpsons line.
Exactly. That's a Simpsons line, is it?
Yeah. It's the kids and Homer all have flus, and Marge is going to the store for everybody, and everyone's yelling for what they want at the supermarket. And Bart says, I want some Flintstones chewable morphine.
It's got to be Bart.
Yep.
Yeah. How did Lisa respond?
Oh, I think she wanted the newest issue of Ms. Magazine or something.
I always fantasize that Lisa will be a libertarian when she grows up.
But she's not. There's one where there's a couple episodes of The Simpsons that take place in the future. And there's one where she's president.
Yes, yes.
And Bart's her embarrassing brother, kind of like Billy Carter was to Jimmy
Carter.
That's
exactly it. And China calls in its debt and he takes care of it like a bill collector.
Yeah, he's like, I can't believe you're meeting with debt collectors and you didn't bring me along.
He's like, man, China, you used to be cool.
China's still cool. But she's a real liberal Democrat president in that. She's not a libertarian.
Yeah, she's Hillary Clinton.
She only legalizes pot because Bart gets the debt people off her back.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the woman Obama in The Simpsons.
So, yeah, The Simpsons. More truth than... Yeah, I haven't seen a new Simpsons in a long time. Have you?
No, I haven't. I used to watch it on Hulu, but we've been watching Hulu on our PlayStation 3. And Simpsons is quote-unquote web-only, so we can only watch Simpsons on Hulu from our laptop.
That's weird. That's more like trying to control nature with laws.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why Simpsons would have some arbitrary thing that they don't want us to watch it on our PlayStation 3. I mean, we'd watch more Simpsons, and we'd watch the advertising associated with it if we could. Because we've seen every episode that we've seen, and we're... I won't say we're sick of South Park, but that's what we're doing right now is we're going back through South Park and watching the episodes we haven't seen. We even started watching a few American Dads, but I'd much rather watch Simpsons than American Dad, honestly.
Yeah, I used to watch The Simpsons religiously, like, and I don't even know what channel it is now on my, the new ones are now on my cable.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Fox, but I don't know what Fox is. I know what Fox News and Fox Business News are, but I haven't watched Fox TV in years.
Which is really interesting to see the disconnect between Fox News and Fox Business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd ever watch Fox News.
I watch it for source material for this podcast.
There you go. There you go. It's interesting sometimes, but I mean, Fox Business, there's actual shows that I would watch. They have, well, they have The Judge. They have Andrew Napolitano.
Well, tomorrow night, Ron Paul's going to be in the debates, and that's going to be on Fox.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, then, I mean, I don't have cable, but I'll watch whoever puts it up on the internet afterwards. I'll definitely watch that. I'm excited about that. Ron Paul on the debates, and then a straw poll on Saturday. I guess this podcast is going to air, what, Friday? So,
well, last time, 2008, Ron Paul won, and then they completely ignored that. And, like, he won one of the straw polls in Texas, I think.
He's been big on winning straw polls. He hasn't won the Iowa. The thing about the Iowa straw poll is that's like the granddaddy. Like Ron Paul's the grandfather of the Tea Party. Well, the Iowa straw poll is the father of
straw polls. But it doesn't determine who becomes president always.
No, I mean, there's, no, you know, it doesn't.
Ask Bob Dole.
And here's the thing, is a lot of the media is saying it's a catch-22 just because they have this bias against Ron Paul. They're saying if he wins it, well, oh, Ron Paul always wins the straw polls because his supporters are so avid, so it's not a big deal. And then they say, oh, if he loses it, then he's not serious.
I think they're thinking that might happen because Fox is already, like, I was watching a little today for source material for this, and they were saying they were basically downplaying the validity of the straw poll or the veracity of it or the fact, you know, basically saying, oh, it doesn't mean anything. So I think probably thinking Ron Paul's going to win.
Oh, totally. He's polling third nationally right now. He's polling third in Iowa, not the straw poll, but the pollsters are saying he's third in Iowa with 16%, which trumps his fourth place competitor. I don't know if it's Herman Cain or somebody, but whoever his competitor is like 9-something percent. Here's another thing. You know, the establishment is scared. Rick Perry might plan to announce. If he does announce, it'll be right after Ron Paul's straw poll win.
Yeah, like he's going into competition with Iowa.
Right. Well, Rick Perry can only be a write-in in Iowa. He's not on the straw poll because he hasn't officially announced yet.
But they're having write-ins, which they'd never had before.
They are having write-ins. I doubt Rick Perry is going to win on a write-in.
Anthony Bouchard is there. He drove down for the straw poll to vote in it.
Well, he can't vote in it unless he's an Iowa citizen. See, that's the other thing. Is the media
I don't know if he complains knows that. About... no, I think he just went to be there. I was just assuming he was going to be there.
He should. He should go be there. He should support Ron Paul. He should talk. Anthony Bouchard's a good guy. If you don't know him, he writes for the Examiner in Wyoming. He's a big gun rights advocate. He helped write great gun legislation in Wyoming. Great guy. It's great if he's just there at Iowa to support Ron Paul.
He's largely the reason that there's permitless concealed carry in the state. And that brings up an interesting point. There's a meeting this week in Casper. The city council, and I believe it's the Casper City Council, not the Natrona Council, is trying to enact a law that will prevent citizens from open carrying to city council meetings.
Really?
Which done it, except one guy, one sovereign citizen did it like 6 years ago, but no one's done it. They just are worried it's going to happen.
Right. Wow.
Which, you know, I'm wondering if they got the idea from our podcast. I mean, that's kind of specious to think so, but we joked about that with the car stuff, you know, months ago. Like, well, maybe a bunch of people will show up open carrying. And it's like this this week, they just handed down they've decided they're going to tax everybody $300 for used cars on their land. And the Natrona County people were saying, like, well, you know, I'm kind of afraid. Like, a couple of those people have followed me from meetings and driven behind me, and I'm like, yeah, you're leaving the same meeting. And but one of the guys at the meeting, one of the citizens, like, called one of the council members like worse than Hitler and got escorted out by the sheriffs.
Are you serious?
Yep.
The sheriffs escorted them out.
Yep.
For speaking their mind.
The whatever council it was asked the sheriff to escort the guy out. He's like, okay, you said it once, I let it slide. You said it a second time, I'm throwing you out. Sheriff, please escort this man out.
Who was it? Which
so they were only following orders. I don't know. I have no idea.
I know all the commissioners on that board. I'm very curious to know.
I threw the paper away in anger, I could tell you. But
yeah, I'll go ahead and look at the Casper Red Star Tribune. Did they write about it?
They're charging for online access to that paper now.
okay, watch them fail.
I know. It's like, what do they think they are? The New York Times? They're charging like $3.95 or for one access level and like $7.95 for full access level per month. I'm like, that's...
Well, the New York Times isn't even making money on their paywall. They're going, if the New York Times can't do it, how the hell do you expect the Casper Star Tribune can't do it?
I know. I think it's a paper by default. I don't think anyone here likes it because it's really liberal and it's a really conservative town. And I think people just read it because it shows up on their doorstep, you know? I mean, I'm not even paying for it. I'm getting it. They're putting it in my mailbox now.
Oh, really?
They're I should talk desperate. To my neighbors. I wonder if I'm the only one that they're doing that to. Like, yeah, we listen. Because I have linked Tribune articles on the blog for our podcast. You know, maybe their webmaster noticed it in the stats and was like, what is this? And went to it and pointed it out to somebody there.
Maybe. I hope so. I always hope people are listening to the podcast. I, on Lou Rockwell's blog the other day, I check it every day. I'm a big fan of LRC. They've got this bumper sticker that looks like a square, and it says LRC. They're advertising it on one of their blog posts, and it said, the unsquare square. And I thought, oh, they're using square as a substitute for statist. And I couldn't help but fantasize for a little while that somehow they got it from us. Not necessarily true, but...
I've never heard anyone use it but us. I mean, I've definitely heard hippies call conservative and Nazi cop square, but I've never heard someone equally calling left and right status square.
It could be just a natural etymology. That's the way the language went, but we used it.
Yeah, so. I mean, things tend to come up simultaneously on different sides of the world. I mean, guns were developed simultaneously in like China, Italy, and Iran.
Guns, and, spears, bows and arrows.
And yeah. What else? Something else we like. Guns, weed. Weed was probably... DJ's looking at me like, you don't smoke weed. Don't say that. No, guns would... cinema. Cinema was simultaneously invented... Moving pictures was simultaneously invented in America by the light bulb guy. What's his name?
Thomas Edison.
Edison. And, yep. Like, literally at the same time by the Lumiere brothers in France.
I did not know that at all. They don't teach that in American school. They don't teach that in public school. They teach it as Thomas Edison.
Yep. Thomas Edison was interesting because he invented so many things that he could have been fabulously wealthy just by that. But then he, like, used government guns to have monopolies on things, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how much truth there is to this, but my mom was always a big Nikola Tesla fan and saying that, you know, Thomas Edison was, you know, trying to get these patents and Tesla wanted to pioneer wireless electricity and people went with Edison or the government went with Edison because it wasn't as free form and corporations would actually be able to make money off of it. I never really researched it, but that's sort of the gist I got.
Tesla, I don't know if you know this or not, but Tesla was an assistant to Edison.
No, I didn't know
and,
that.
And there is some talk about the possibility that Edison stole some of his ideas.
Hmm.
But Edison definitely resorted to fraud to get his stuff through. There's a famous film, it's on YouTube, a short film of really early black and white film of an elephant being electrocuted. And basically what it is Edison wanted alternating current and Tesla wanted direct current to wire houses. And the Tesla plan would have been a lot more efficient because they could have had the production facilities much further apart. And the Edison plan, they would have had to be 30 or 40 miles at most so he could build more of them and make more money.
Right.
And it, you know, it was a limitation of alternating current that would make him more money. And he said that direct current was a lot more dangerous than alternating current, and he tried to prove it by electrocuting an elephant on film with an amount of electricity that either AC or DC would have killed the elephant.
The old safety argument. See, the safety argument bugs me so much. I feel like people who aren't super intelligent or just aren't very intelligent, they have this lizard brain reaction to that word safety. Oh, thank you very much, honey. My wife just brought me an energy drink. Safety. I'm going to drink this energy drink. Anyway.
I prefer the safety dance myself. You can dance if you want to. You could leave your friends behind because your friends don't dance. And if they don't dance, then they're no friends of mine. My wife's staring at me because I'm sitting cross-legged on the couch and I'm doing the safety dance.
I don't even know what the safety dance is. I thought it was a euphemism for boning.
Is it?
That's what I thought. I thought it
boning
was
with a rubber.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I thought. But
so anyway, I saw another great movie. Oh, you got more?
Sorry. Well, I was going to say my point is this word safety. You know,
you got
I
feel more? Like, you got some. I'm sorry. You're about to make a point, and I was going to go like, well, I've got 18 other things to talk about.
We got a bunch to talk about.
Make your damn point. Make your wonderful point.
I'm going to make the damn point. Okay, so people who are in news know that the freaking consultants, they're obsessed with this idea of safety. People respond to it. They have this lizard brain that says safety, and then they want to suckle at the teat of whoever. And the government knows this. Think about all the different things that all they have to do is utter this word, this verbal word, safety. And people just, they do my little brother's special move. They fall in the corner and they cower and they say, save me. People are scared naturally. We live in a very uncertain world, and I feel like we talk about how there's no magic words. I feel like safety has become a magic word for the media and the government. An anti-magic
word. A magic word for evil.
A tyrannical magic word.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there are no magic words. I just think what we were saying with the no magic words were this, there's no get out of jail free word, except I want to speak to a lawyer, which still isn't get out of jail free, but it's not going to jail further. But
right.
Yeah, it's all, you know, I mean, we've said this before in a cast, the quote, I don't know if it was Jefferson or Franklin, but it was one of those cool cats said something about...
Those who would give up a little bit of liberty for a measure of safety deserve neither.
It's a good one, too. The other one is that if the United States is ever taken down, it won't be from an external force, it'll be from internal forces under the guise of safety.
Right, and that's paraphrasing, but maybe that was Thomas Paine, I think.
You know... After reading this book, One Nation Under Sex, I really have to question people's blind allegiance to the Founding Fathers.
I've always, well, not always, but in the past year and a half or so, I've questioned
Thomas Jefferson the was warship. Boning his 14-year-old slave.
He was. And when he was president, he wasn't a bastion of liberty. He let the ring go to his head.
Yeah.
There was a tariff under Jefferson, which, you know, you don't think of tariffs as being Jeffersonian at all. So, you know, I feel like the power of the president corrupts. And I also feel like that, yeah, the Founding Fathers, they created a government. They created a government that ended up becoming the biggest government in the history of the world.
You know, two of the most unfree things in America were done about people's sexual picadillos.
What's a sexual picadillo? Is that ground beef that you eat while you're boning?
It's a sexual unusualness. No, the Alien and Sedition Act, the one that makes it illegal to talk about the government badly during wartime.
That's related to sex?
Yeah, it was, I forget who it was, but it was some early president didn't like that one of his opponents was outing him about his extramarital affair.
Wow.
Yep.
Think about what the big scandals that the media picks up on. They're never about, oh, this president is a mass murderer and a war criminal. They're always about, oh, this president stuck his willy in so-and-so, or this congressman was boning a prostitute. They're never about the real evil that politicians do. They're always about where their wiener is.
Here's a good one. J. Edgar Hoover had FBI agents his round-the-clock surveillance of his home. One morning, Hoover discovered feces on his front stoop and suspected it was left by one of his political enemies. The FBI forensic specialist rushed the sample over to the Smithsonian, where a zoologist noticed the shells of berries that raccoons eat. After the agents assured Hoover that the suspicious crap came from a raccoon and not a nefarious enemy, Hoover ordered FBI science technicians to build a raccoon catapult and install it on his patio. The next morning, Hoover woke up to find his neighbor's cat splattered against the side of his house.
That's got to be from The Onion, right?
No, this is true. This is One Nation Under Sex.
Oh, wow.
And Hoover's handling of the raccoon turd could be a metaphor for his tenure at the FBI, an overblown, dramatic, futile waste. You know, I was thinking about how all the government agencies and all of the really oppressive government agencies came out of the FBI, out of Hoover's FBI.
Well, were they the first of these, what we call alphabet soup? Or I guess the IRS was first before the FBI, weren't they?
Yeah, but they didn't have a lot of power. It was, and actually the FBI empowered the IRS too. Like the IRS didn't even carry guns at one point. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Have we ever talked about this on the cast? I think we've talked about it personally, but my mom actually called the FBI and complained about a terrorist organization that was terrorizing her, saying that they were going to take all her money by force. And then at the end of the conversation, she said, yeah, there's something called IRS.
Well, yeah, that's that inspired a three-part running joke in the movie, remember?
Correct. That did inspire the movie. Okay, because I was thinking we talked about it in the movie, but no, we didn't talk about it. That's what inspired the skit about
ERS. We've talked about that on a radio interview that your mom called in on.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good deal. And I love you, Ma. She listens to the cast sometimes, so I got to throw a shout out.
So another great movie I saw this week was that I've never seen. You'll probably be surprised I've never seen this, is Minority Report.
Ah, I do remember that. A very interesting exposition of pre-crime, which we have today. We have pre-crime. It's already here.
Yeah, and when that came out, too, it was like a lot of liberals loved it and were like, yeah, see, that's what George Bush is like.
That's what the government is like.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the biggest examples of pre-crime is DUI. And I know this is controversial, but you get arrested for DUI, you can get your life ruined. You cannot be able to get a job for 2 years. And as a young person just starting out your life, that can ruin you. And this can all happen just by being 0.01 above whatever this arbitrary legal limit is, which in essence, you didn't do anything. And the whole basis of DUI is the thought that you might hurt somebody.
And
you
so might many, commit there's so many things homicide. That are questionable constitutionally or under natural rights that so many people accept as just the way it should be. You know, even I know people who are really small government people who are in favor of DUI laws. I hear constantly people who claim to be small government Republicans who are still in favor of keeping the Social Security system going and keeping a lot of types of handouts for businesses going.
Yeah. And you got to be pure about it. You just have to. And I don't understand how people are not. It makes me think that they just don't get it. If you claim to be small government and you don't have – you're not truly where we're at yet. I mean, I don't want to hate on people, but I'm just saying I feel like once you get it, you get it. That government violence is government violence no matter which direction it goes, no matter who it favors and who it hurts. It's the same thing.
Have you heard about the addendum now to Operation Gunrunner?
There's an addendum? I didn't even know it was still operative.
It's not operative, but more has been revealed. Ah. You know, for those who don't know, Operation Gunrunner is an ATF thing where they were allegedly letting guns bought in the U.S. by cartel members illegally go south of the border and then trying to track them, and there was no way to track them, and they should have known that. And they let thousands of guns get into the hands of cartels that were used to kill people, which, you know, we think of a gun as an inanimate object, and in our world, free trade would be possible, and anybody could have a gun.
Right.
But, you know, from any kind of statist or even we're paying their salaries point of view, it's diametrically opposed to what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, not only that, but if the government provided these guns to the cartels, then that means we paid for it. We as taxpayers have whatever blood on our hands that those guns were used to kill.
Right.
Just like now, with wars.
But that's just the old part. The addendum is that it's coming out now that possibly the feds let tons of drugs get into the country from one cartel in exchange for information on another cartel.
I believe that. Yeah. I honestly thought that was standard operating procedure.
Well, I always think it's standard operating procedure with like street cops. You know, they'll bust a dealer and take a dime bag and not bust him if he'll tell what his competitor's doing, and he's more than happy to do it. But I never thought of it as truckloads, but I guess it is.
Yeah.
Or it's being said on mainstream media that this may be happening.
I guess that's the big news for me is okay, everybody's starting to realize this now. At least I hope they are. How ridiculous it is to – and, you know, I feel like the mainstream media is probably calling for some kind of new rules or regulations or probably even some kind of new governing body to govern these other governing bodies, which, again, like we said earlier, that's just stacking more government solutions on top of the government solutions that caused the problem in the first place. It's piling more inconsistencies on top of your original inconsistency.
No. That was a long pee break there. Did you go get laid or something?
No, I'm not that quick. No, my wife made me a pizza and wanted to discuss with me our plans for the future.
You know, Marilyn Monroe said that every time she had sex with JFK, it was the best 7 minutes of her lifetime.
That's kind of respectable for a president, I guess. The president's got a lot of work to do. A lot of...
Do you know Jackie O was banging both the Kennedy brothers?
The brothers, Bobby and...
well, both, you know, not Teddy, but Bobby and okay. Yeah, JFK and Robert.
No, I didn't know that. Like, at the same time?
Yeah. And
really?
She banged Aristotle Onassis in the White House 48 hours after her husband was killed.
Who's Aristotle Onassis?
Jackie O was having an affair with. It's the O in Jackie O.
Oh.
It's the the Greek shipping billionaire that she was sleeping with while married to JFK and married after he was murdered.
Wow.
There's actually
girl.
Even like theories that he may have had something to do with JFK's death, and now there's something coming out that...
I thought it came out that she blames LBJ.
That's coming out like today. Like ABC News has tapes and they're going to play them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that whole thing?
I don't know. I'd rather read about their sex lives than try to figure out who did what. I'm a lover, not a fighter, man. I don't try to figure out who killed who. I want to know who was banging who.
Okay. So you're like J. Edgar Hoover?
Even as a child, he liked to spy on his neighbors. You know what I was thinking about recently was like the personification of government, like Uncle Sam and Ma Bell.
Ma Bell. I got the ill communication.
Do you even know what Ma Bell is?
I know the Beastie Boys song. No, it was a monopoly on phones that the government busted, right?
Well, it was the monopoly on phones that the government enabled from the beginning of the telephone and, you know, Alexander Graham Bell up until 1980, I think it was 84. It was in my lifetime. Like, when I was a kid, we rented our telephones from the phone company. You could not legally own a phone. And if you wanted to have a phone, they only had like two designs. And if you wanted a phone that was a different design and you bought it from a third party, you had to bring it into your phone company and pay them a rewiring fee, even if there was nothing to rewire. And then you had to pay a monthly surcharge to use that phone instead of their phone.
Yikes. Thank God for cell phones, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think that the reason the government had a case that monopoly made sense. And again, I don't, you know, I think the market would have taken care of this, but basically it was when everything was landlines and you had to dig up property to do it and you had to, and they felt they had to use eminent domain to run lines before everything was wireless. It was a really limited resource. So they didn't want 10 companies putting up 10 sets of phone lines. It's kind of like there's a lot of government agencies that existed for a seemingly realistic purpose that now only exist to exist. Like the FCC is a really good example. The FCC was started when there was a finite number of radio channels and a finite number of television channels available. And they felt it was a resource that was so valuable and rare that it had to be controlled.
Right, because there was a limited broadcast spectrum.
Right,
there was
and now
only
there's
so
practically
many,
yeah. an unlimited broadcast band. For instance, with the internet, there should be no FCC involvement whatsoever because there no longer exists that limitation. And with censorship, you know, they had a case when there were three channels on TV for you can't say fuck on TV, because if you had a TV, your kids were going to hear fuck if someone said fuck on TV. But now,
right, you know, you had a parents, 1 in 3 chance. Yeah,
right. Now parents, you know, you can have any channel you want and parents can put in a V-chip if they want.
I feel that way in general about government. They're a vestigial organ. Government is nothing but an appendix. You know, they might have been useful at some time in history. Who knows?
Yes. Yeah, like
but
the appendix
not
was... The appendix didn't exist to digest raw meat.
I don't know. I don't know what the appendix... I don't know if scientists even are completely 100% sure what it was
there
for.
That's the theory, is that it was when we ate raw meat. Yeah.
Okay. And now, obviously, we don't, so we don't really need one.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about government. Okay, maybe at some point you could have made some case for them.
But Ma Bell. Is Ma Bell like Uncle Sam's sister?
I just know she's got that ill communication.
Are there other personifications of government like that you can think of?
Uncle Sam, Ma Bell.
Sally Mae, Freddie Mac.
Those are very good examples.
DJ just said those too. Yeah, it's like, of course you're going to trust your life savings to someone that sounds like a avuncular sweet old lady. Or sweet old man,
and
I mean.
Of course, Orwell both foreshadowed and I think sort of foresaw this. But I don't know. Did Uncle Sam come before 1984? Because in 1984, there was obviously Big Brother.
Well, that was written in 1948. I think, I don't have my computer on, but I think that Uncle Sam goes back to World War I, and it's something GIs made up because everything was stamped U.S.
Right.
It just became a nickname for it. It might have actually been, I believe it may have been what Brits called America's government, because they would see stuff stamped US on it.
Uncle Sam. And the Brits are always cheeky.
Cheeky. So speaking of England, London's burning, man. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And sometimes I listen to Hannity, not necessarily because I'm a fan, but because I drive, you know.
You want to keep an eye on him the same way that, like, you know, Catholics surf porn sites so they can bust people.
No, because the Catholics probably enjoy it.
Well, I'm also kind of kidding with you because, you know, it's like, oh, wow, I don't enjoy Hannity. No, I'm just, it's research. I only read Playboy for the articles.
Well, I'm interested. Yeah. He's an interesting character.
He is.
And I'm driving in the news van, and we don't have any good radio stations here in Tri-Cities, Washington, you know? I can listen to mainstream pop hip-hop radio and hear the same three Lil Wayne songs on a loop, or I can listen to Hannity and Limbaugh and just see, get a sense of what the right wing,
you know,
is thinking.
I listen to those guys, and I listen to, you know, Rachel Maddow, because I want to know what's going on and have my finger on the pulse so I can know what to vomit at and run away from. And it's kind of like, you know, like I say, like politics are like sports. If both teams sucked, it makes for an interesting game.
That's very true. I love the politics and sports analogy. It's red team, blue team. I just don't want to watch the damn game anymore.
Somebody expanded that too. They said, I said that, and somebody else said, yeah, if both teams sucked, good teams weren't allowed in the leagues, and you were considered treasonous if you mentioned the possibility that we don't need teams or sports.
Yeah, that's good. Was that a comment on one of our casts or Facebook
comment? Yeah, and everyone should go on iTunes and review. Everyone should go on iTunes and review us too. It helps. Yeah. We have like 400 listeners and like 4 comments on iTunes. So
badass.
And make donations if you want to.
Yes, please.
Because if you listen one more second without paying, you're stealing. I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
That's from The Simpsons, from the PBS pledge drive.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. The one where Homer goes to some third world island and ruins this tropical paradise by westernizing it.
Ah, of course. The imperialist Homer. In any case, though, Hannity, England. So Hannity was swearing up and down that this would come here.
I saw this.
Oh, did you? Of course, liberals. And, okay, there's something to be said for that. But, of course, exonerating any kind of also conservative or statist in general.
Well, the thing that he said that made sense was the entitlement stuff.
Totally makes sense. But, yeah, the entitlements come from both sides. It might be different entitlements, but it's still entitlements. He played a soundbite from, you know, some of the rioters in England, which just disgusting, you know, basically saying we want to show the rich that we can do what we want. British girls getting wasted and trashing stuff because they want to show the rich that they can do what they want.
You know, this thing started because someone killed a kid. A cop killed a kid. And instead of anything against that cop, you know, they burn their neighborhood to the ground and destroy middle-class shopkeepers' homes who have nothing to do with the cops.
Yep. It reminds me of in David Banner. I doubt it's his last album, but in David Banner's album, The Greatest Story Ever Told, he has a whole monologue about this. And of course, it's racially tinged. She's saying, you know, if you want to impress me, don't kill another N-word. Kill a cop. Go kill the person who's attacking us. You know,
who's David Banner?
He's a rapper and a producer. A pretty amazing guy. Very talented. You should check him out if you haven't.
There's a good Kennedy song about that, too. It's called Riot, and it says, Riot, the unbeatable high, riot sets your nerve to the sky. And it's got a line in it about, like, burn your own neighborhood to the ground, and, you know, you say the riot's about oppression, but then you end up burning your neighborhood to the ground.
Exactly.
It happened in South Central, too, in the L.A. riots, you know?
Right, and we're not advocating violence, obviously, because we never do that.
I am advocating self-defense, which you're not allowed to have in England, and it's like, people are not leaving their homes in England because they're terrified. I mean, homes are getting burned to the ground, and it's like, a really vivid memory I have that I really like was in the L.A. riots was this film of this Korean shop owner on the roof of his one-story shop with an AK-47 fending off tribes of black kids that were about to burn his place to the ground and probably kill him.
Right. Well, do you think England would be in the situation it was in now?
This guy wasn't shooting people. He was just standing there with a gun, and he kept the crowds at bay.
Right.
Do I think what?
Do you think England would be in the situation it is now if they weren't completely disarmed? Of course not. Shop owners would be standing up for themselves. Instead, right now, the cops have the monopoly on any kind of defense. There was actually Turkish shop owners who were defending their own shops with baseball bats, right? Because you can't have a gun in England. Turkish shop owners defending their own shops, their private property. They're the owners. They're the ones that supply and provide actual service to people. Cops were arresting them for being vigilantes. These guys are trying to defend themselves with baseball bats. They're getting the cops instead of protecting these guys and saying, okay, good, well, defend yourself. They're arresting these Turkish shop owners.
Yeah.
That's government for you. All they want is the monopoly. That's their main thing. They don't want society to be safe. They don't want safety. They just want to make sure that they're the ones getting the money, getting the jobs, getting the contracts, and getting the price.
The only amusing thing about this thing in England, and I had a note to talk about this before John Stewart ended up speaking about it last night, which was like, we beat him to it, but we didn't because we're weekly, not daily. But we're the weekly show. There was a picture in some magazine I found somewhere online of rioters queuing up in polite lines to go in and loot stores.
I heard about that, yeah. Because they were all taught by the government.
Yeah.
They're polite. They stand in line before they go commit their violence.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you have morning announcements, like in public school, about what they're going to loot?
I think they need a looting permit system.
Right. They get tardy slips if they don't show up to their looting at the
appointed
time.
Speaking of looting permits, the DEA has allegedly licensed 55 unnamed big pharma organizations for pot farms.
Whoa, that's huge news.
Yeah, it's kind of sketchy and not very well sourced, though. So I don't know if it's news, but it's been said.
Yeah, we got to keep our eye on that.
Now, for the new listener, explain why that's an issue to us.
Why the DEA licensing pot farms? Well, first, we have reported that the government has been focusing on buying up pot patents, while at the same time...
No, they have pot patents. They've had them for years.
They have their
They're
pot patents.
They're just pulling
patents.
Them out.
Right.
While at the same time, the FDA said pot has no medical use recently.
No medical use. So there's no medical use, but at the same time, the same government has pot patents on medical use of pot. And so now
and
the DEA...
busting pot dispensaries.
Right. They're busting pot dispensaries. So again, it's just about the control. And I feel like they know that they're losing the battle.
What I found out recently that was really offensive to me? Do you know who Partnership for a Drug-Free America is?
They run all the PSAs about, don't smoke weed because your little sister will get in a car wreck kind of thing.
Yeah, don't do meth because your little sister will turn tricks in a bathroom.
Yeah.
They are heavily funded by some big pharmaceutical companies.
Really?
They used to be heavily funded by pharmaceutical companies, alcohol companies, and tobacco companies, but the alcohol and tobacco companies got too much for it, so now it's just big pharma.
Wow. And I think that's really important to note, and we mentioned that in the movie, left and right, big pharma's role in the war on drugs, because they are drugs. That's why a lot of people call the war on drugs the war on some drugs, because big pharma wants you to take all the drugs you can take. They want to pump your body full of as many pills and prescriptions as you can buy. They don't care about drugs. They just want it to be government-approved drugs that they have the patent on so they can get the big bucks.
So a couple more interesting local things, Tyranny Today's. Well, this one's not local, but did you hear about the Virginia Tech lockdown last week?
They were worried that somebody else had a gun.
Yeah, it was like three... like tweeners, like, 10 and 11-year-old kids that were there for some camp thing. DJ, you have a comment?
hey, DJ.
Neiman says. Three little kids said, we saw a guy hiding a gun under a shirt.
Which I do every day, and I'm sure you do every day.
Yeah. No, they said he was carrying it, and they couldn't even really describe it. It was like, they said it was a handgun that was really long and, like, had a black shoulder thing that goes up or something. And there are summer classes and events and organizations that meet at this college. This is the college where the guy shot a bunch of people a few years ago.
Right.
They called out the local police. They called out the FBI. They locked this down all day. And they had, like, every news channel breaking in every 5 minutes showing, footage of this peaceful campus and saying the gunman has still not been found.
Yeah.
And finally, they decided there was no gunman, and it was, gunman. when it's, you know, when a guy's killed with a knife, is it a knifeman? And it's like, is a guy who carries a gun a gunman? But they just went ape poopy about it all day on the news, and it was nothing.
Yeah. Well, think about it. I mean, think about who's benefiting. Cui bono. I work in news. I would love something like that. Are you telling me that my day is I just get to go stand out and do a live hits every hour?
You don't have to write anything.
That's a cake day. I don't have to write anything at all.
Yeah.
You know? And people will watch. You know, that's going to boost ratings. People are going to have their eyes glued to the screen. The cops, they get to pull out their brand new $1 million SWAT vehicle that never gets to come out. They love it. The sniper guy gets to come out and point his .308 in every direction. And he gets to sit there and lay down. Oh, it's great.
The same day, 7 blocks were closed in downtown Casper. The FBI was called out for a suspicious package. And after hours of having downtown shut down, said on the Tribune's website, local authorities, bomb squad personnel, and the FBI later moved the package to a safe location where they determined it was a 6-volt battery with the top sheared off.
Oh, yeah. But again, that's an interesting day for the tax feeders. You know, if you work in law enforcement, that's an interesting day for you. Why not? Why not make a big deal out of nothing? It's better than writing reports and pulling people over and writing tickets for speeding.
And then they barely cover news like this. Florida teenager dies in jail after being arrested for possession of marijuana.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about that. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Another example of how the drug war is a government war on people. Somebody literally lost their life.
Did you read about UK police call on citizens to spy on anarchists?
I did, and how scary was that?
And that's confusing the word anarchist, meaning like you, with people that burn shit down. People that burn shit down are not anarchists. They're violent idiots. And this is like people who just want to be left alone and write about it on the internet. The government is asking citizens in the UK to turn in their neighbors if they do that.
Yeah, yeah. Really scary. Although I thought their definition of anarchist, when I read it in that article, I thought, okay, that makes sense. It was their definition of anarchist was people who believe the government is counterproductive and don't believe there should be a state. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, you know, I think that one reason that they're all on this, like, if you see something, say something worldwide, is because this massive amount of policing they're doing just doesn't even work. An example I can think of, a really blatant example, was the Unabomber. I mean, that guy was on a reign of terror for, I think it was almost 2 decades. There was a span where he didn't do anything, but it went on for many years. It was the largest manhunt in U.S. in world history, except for maybe bin Laden, but in domestic, you know, in the U.S., it was the largest manhunt ever. And the only reason they ever found him was because his brother turned him
in. Had nothing to do with their efforts. Just like the people who kept the underwear bomber and the shoe bomber from blowing up planes were just the passengers sitting next to them.
The free market took care of all of those.
Yeah, exactly. The reason they're on this see something, say something kick is because it justifies their existence.
And it kind of goes back to the Hoover FBI to me of like just wanting dossiers on everybody so they can use it as leverage if they need to, you know, ostensibly to stop crimes. But a lot of it's for pre-crime kind of stuff, too, you know, like Minority Report kind of stuff.
You know, the government says we're here to protect order. We're here to protect safety. We're here to make sure everybody lives a good life. No, they're here to ensure their existence. That's all they are. They're just like everybody else. The government is about self-preservation, making sure they're still getting all this cash from taxpayers and making sure they get to have a big fat pension to sit on their ass and do nothing.
Word. I think we're at the end of our rant here.
Yeah, it got really ranty there at the end.
Well, next week we'll have a more upbeat cast of ranting, which is called Whoever Dies With His Art On The Most Hard Drives Wins.
We sure will. So, and I think we're going to end that with a song by me and Frank. Well, I guess his rap name now is Naveed. He wants to go with the Persian name since my rap name is Nima V. So
that'll get him on a list.
So look forward to that. And that's your optimism for today, is looking forward to next week's cast.
Word.
Worms. Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, perfect.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell 2 friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is A Conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.